jina ma għisa ġus, nsemmilkom u nil-għakom għal-program liħor il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U l-lum, se waslu l-kom l-axar program dwar Hans Christian Andersen. U fil-fatt l-lum se nitkellmu dwar kemm Andersen kien sensittiv u kemm kien ibati meta jikkritikawh. U kif ipprova jimla l-vojt li kellu f'ħajtu b'ħafna safar. U kif ukoll se naraw x'ġara u x'qal dwar Malta għaliex fil-fatt għamel ġurnata jiġri madwar gżirittna. Fil-fatt minn hawnhekk nixtieq li ringrazzja lil-Lino Buġejja li batli email u ġibidli l-attenzjoni li fil-fatt Andersen kien ġie Malta u jiena għamilt tfittxija tiegħi u sibt ħafna dwar dan. U dwar dan ir-rakkont, jiġifieri, ta' meta ġie żur gżirittna, forsi ma nafx ta' jiena għawx min jiskandalizza ruħu, ma naħseb se jkollkom issoddu daqsxejn widnejkom. Mhux għattul, imma jgħid xi ħaġa dwar Malta li ma nafx kemm kienet sabiħa. Se nitkellmu wkoll dwar xi nies famużi li ltaqa' magħhom fiż-żjajjar tiegħu. U tiftakru kemm tkellimna dwar l-aħwa Grimm. Mela dawn l-aħwa Grimm daħlu wkoll fil-ħajja ta' Andersen. Se nisimgħu silta mill-awtobiografija ta' Andersen. Waraw x'jgħidu dwar ir-relazzjoni li kellu magħhom. Il-vuċi ta' Andersen hija ta' Heinrich Pischke.
I had already, on the former occasion, visited the brothers Grimm, but I had not at that time made much progress with the acquaintance. I had not brought any letters of introduction to them with me, because people had told me, and I myself believed it, that if I were known by anybody in Berlin, it must be the brothers Grimm. I therefore sought out their residence. I entered the room, and Jakob Grimm, with his knowing and strongly marked countenance, stood before me. "I come to you," said I, "without letters of introduction, because I hope that my name is not wholly unknown to you." "Who are you?" asked he. I told him, and Jakob Grimm said, in a half-embarrassed voice, "I do not remember to have heard his name. You must know me. There has been published in Denmark a collection of the Märchen of all nations, which is dedicated to you, and in it there is at least one story of mine." "No," said he good-humouredly. The same month Jakob Grimm went to Copenhagen. Immediately on his arrival, and while yet in his travelling dress, did the amiable, kind man hasten up to me. He now knew me, and he came to me with cordiality. One evening, as I was reading one of my little stories at the Countess Bismarck Bolens, there was in that little circle one person in particular who listened with evident fellowship of feeling, and who expressed himself in a peculiar and sensible manner on the subject. This was Jakob's brother, Wilhelm Grimm. "I should have known you very well if you had come to me," said he, "the last time you were here. I saw these two highly gifted and amiable brothers almost daily."
Rajtu emmek, kemm kien bniedem sensittiv u fl-istess ħin gburi Dan Andersen. Se nisimgħu silti toħra mill-autobiografija tiegħu, meta Andersen iltaqa' mal-kittieb Ġermaniż Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, mal-kompożitur Ungeriż Franz Liszt. U ma xi nies reali. Il-vuċi hija dejjem ta' Heinrich Pischke.
At Olmutz, where we had fresh carriages, a voice spoke my name. It was Walter Goethe. We had travelled together the whole night without knowing it. In Vienna we met often. Noble powers, true genius, live in Goethe's grandsons, in the composer as well as in the poet. But it is as if the greatness of their grandfather pressed upon them. Liszt was in Vienna and invited me to his concert, in which otherwise it would have been impossible to find a place. I again heard his improvising of Robert. I again heard him, like a spirit of the storm, play with the chords. He is an enchanter of sounds, who fills the imagination with astonishment. I spent, to me, a highly interesting evening with our Danish royal family, who received me with extraordinary favour. The least of the princesses, a little girl, who knew that I had written the history of the fir tree, began very confidentially with, "Last Christmas we also had a fir tree, and it stood there in this room." Afterwards, when she was led out before the other children, and had bade her parents and the king and queen good night, she turned round at the half-closed door, and nodding to me in a friendly and familiar manner, said I was her fairy tale prince.
Anderson min dejjem kellu ammirazzjoni kbira lejn il-kittib Ingliż Charles Dickens u koll qabel ma kien iltaqa' miegħu. Il-ħbiberija li eventwalment żviluppat bejniethom kienet reċiproka, sakemm Anderson għaxxaqha. Mid-dera Dickens kien stieden lill-Anderson għandu u dan Anderson ma kellux qalb jitlaq. Biex wara dil-okkażjoni Dickens ma ridx jaf iktar b'Anderson u relazzjoni ġiet interrotta. Issa kemm Dickens kif ukoll Anderson kienu jiktbu dwar it-tbatija, u darba minnhom il-pubblikatur ta' Anderson akkużah li kien qiegħed jimita lil Dickens. U Anderson irrabja u jiġbu hekk: "The difficulty of reproducing my style, which is said strangely to resemble Dickens, without my having wished to copy it, for it is indeed my nature." Interessanti li wieħed jidħol daqsxejn fil-autobiografija ta' Anderson u d-djarju tiegħu u l-ittri tiegħu u taraw kemm iltaqa' ma' ħafna iktar nies. U kif semmejna fl-introduzzjoni ta' dan il-programm, wieħed mill-pajjiżi li żar Anderson kien propju Malta. Kien għadu kif telaq minn Napli fuq dan il-vapur Franċiż b'isem ta' Leonidas u kellu jqatta' xahar li Greċja meta waqaf għal ġurnata ġogżiritna. Kien 17 ta' Marzu 1841. U l-ħabib Russu Kristoforov krew karozzin u marru l-belt fejn żaru il-Konkatedral ta' San Ġwan, il-Palazz tal-Gran Mastru u marru wkoll l-Imdina u r-Rabat. Fejn fir-Rabat u Dun Ġwan għad soppardi assigurani li da verament ġara, dan Anderson mar jara l-grotta ta' San Pawl u sejel lura lejn il-belt mar ukoll jara iċ-ċimiterju ġoswar tal-Imsida u l-istar tal-Lazzarett. Da kien kliem Anderson malli wasal ġogżiritna. "I heard the anchor fall and knew that we were in the harbour of Malta. I had never before seen brilliance, neither under the clear sky of Italy, nor in our northern winter nights. Valletta and all those proud ships here under the world's strongest fortress were only the frame for it. The setting was beautiful, one of the most beautiful I have ever seen." Il-ġurnalista Danis Klaus Johansen ikkumenta hekk dwar il-miġja ta' Anderson ġogżiritna. U innutaw daqsxejn, ħabib Anderson da Kristoforov ma' min fettilu jiltaqa' meta kien Malta. Ħa ngħidilkom mal-ewwel, ma' waħda minn dawk in-nisa li għalihom strada stretta kienet tant rinomata. Ma' nafx forsi maġbaqa illum min jiskandalizza ruħu dawn l-affarijiet. Mela, ejja nisimgħuh dan ir-rakkont. Mela, il-ġurnalista Danis Klaus Johansen jikkumenta hekk: "Among the ways in which Malta and Denmark have crossed paths, one of the more curious is the fact that the author Hans Christian Andersen stopped in Malta in 1841. He later wrote that arriving in Malta, he felt as though he had arrived in one of the Mideastern countries he had dreamt about as a child. Hans Christian Andersen traveled more frequently and further afield than other writers. He visited not only conventional destinations, but also exotic locations, such as Scotland, North Africa, Portugal, Turkey, and the Balkans. In 1841, he set off for the Orient. On the 17th of March, the steamer docks at the port of Malta. Anderson visits the church and views the ancient armor of the Knights of Malta, out in the open country, in a two-wheeled horse-drawn carriage. Only fig trees, all else is barren. His traveling companion, a Russian officer, does more than just look at the fig leaves. He pays a visit to a sexually voracious Maltese woman." U dan hawnhekk huwa se nikkwotaw minn kliem li fil-fatt insibu fid-djarju ta' Anderson innifsu. He showed me on his arms traces of bites. So lustful was she, her hair purportedly reaching the ground. Mela dikkinet kwotazzjoni mid-djarju ta' Anderson u Johansson ikompli jispjega dan. Anderson spends the evening out of harm's way writing while a British military band plays on one of the warships. The diary is his memory, but it is private. The literary version is published in 1842 in the travelogue Ein Dichter's Bazaar, a poet's bazaar, with not a word about bite marks, but naturally impressively well written. Ovja, awnek, san ikkwotaw min dan li kiteb fit-travelogue, pero Anderson ħalla ċerti dettalji pal-gdim ta' dik il-mara Maltija barra. U jgħidlek. They made ready for sailing. There was a shouting and screaming round about us. The floating ships with their traders surrounded us. Naked boys begged. Passengers came on board. Our Persian sat on the coal sacks near the chimney, a Bedouin wrapped up in his white burnous and with pistols and a knife in his belt, lay with his back against him. A few Maltese women in their black veils had grouped themselves near the machinery, and Greeks in different dresses and with the red fez on their heads leaned against the gunwale. Two sailors with halberds stood guard by the steps into the gangway and kept order whilst packages, chests and boxes were piled up. The boatswain's whistle sounded, the steam whizzed and hissed out of the tube and about the paddle wheels. The cannon sounded, the flags waved, and we glided out of Malta's road at a rapid rate into the open Mediterranean, which lay as blue and still as a velvet carpet spread over the earth. The sea was like bluish ether, a fixed starless sky beneath us. It extended into transparent air, further than I have ever seen it. Neither dark nor light striped bounded the horizon. There was a clearness, an infinity which cannot be painted, nor described, except in the eternal depth of thought. Taraw emmek, xi żbuħija ta' deskrizzjoni għamel Dan Anderson dwar Malta. Ara daqsxejn kemm qanqlitu gżiritna. Se nsemmalkom ukoll parti minn ħrafa li nkitbet minn Anderson innifsu li jisimha The Shepherd's Story of the Bond of Friendship fejn fija isemmi lil Malta wiswar. Fil-fatt hija silta qasira ħafna. Però araw daqsxejn di gżiritna kemm qanqlitu. Years had gone by when, one evening, Eftanides came in. He had grown tall and slender as a reed, with strong limbs and a dark brown skin. He kissed us all and had so much to tell of what he had seen of the great ocean, Isamawa, Jayasa, of the fortifications at Malta and of the marvelous sepulchres of Egypt, that I looked up to him with a kind of veneration. Issa, il-ħrejjef ta' Anderson kienu popolari ħafna mal-qarrija Daniżi. Araw daqsxejn kemm kultant fil-ħajja tittibqa' miexi fit-triqtek u meta tixkas xi jgħidu n-nies. Sħabu kienu ta' ħparir biex ma jiktibx ħrejjef għax ħassew li qisu kien se jitbaxxa mal-qarrija. Iżda malar ħadu għar-risposta għaliex sar rinomat ukoll barra minn pajjiżu, fil-fatt sar rinomat mal-Ewropa kollha. Iżda huma tantx kien jaf joħodha l-kritika, tant kien hekk li kienu ġalu jiddubita fil-kapaċitajiet tiegħu. Fil-fatt kiteb il-ħrafa The Fertry apposta biex jagħtihom risposta. Iddeċidejt li naqraħilkom u nnutaw kif il-ħrafa il-ġrieden, jiġifieri the mice huma l-pubbliku, the rats huma l-kritiċi u The Fertry hija Anderson innifsu, jekk min isejra żball l-Fertry hija siġra ta' Znuber. Mela, tix nisimawa. The Fair Tree, the Hans Christian Andersen. Far down in the forest, where the warm sun and the fresh air made a sweet resting place, grew a pretty little fair tree. And yet it was not happy. It wished so much to be tall like its companions, the pines and firs, which grew around it. The sun shone, and the soft air fluttered its leaves, and the little peasant children passed by, prattling merrily. But the fir tree heeded them not. 2 winters passed by, and when the third arrived, the tree had grown so tall that the hare was obliged to run around it. Yet it remained unsatisfied, and would exclaim, "Oh, if I could but keep on growing tall and old! There is nothing else worth caring for in the world." "Rejoice in thy youth," said the sunbeam. "Rejoice in thy fresh growth, and the young life that is in thee." A short time before Christmas, the discontented fir tree was the first to fall. As the axe cut through the stem and divided the pith, the tree fell with a groan to the earth, conscious of pain and faintness, and forgetting all its anticipations of happiness, in sorrow at leaving its home in the forest. It knew that it should never again see its dear old companions, the trees, nor the little bushes and many-colored flowers that had grown by its side, perhaps not even the birds. Neither was the journey at all pleasant. The tree first recovered itself while being unpacked in the courtyard of a house, with several other trees, and it heard a man say, "We only want one, and this is the prettiest." Then came 2 servants in grand livery, and carried the fir tree into a large and beautiful apartment. How the fir tree trembled! What was going to happen to him now? Some young ladies came, and the servants helped them to adorn the tree. "Oh, it was very beautiful! This evening," they all exclaimed, "how bright it will be!" "Oh, that the evening were come," thought the tree, "and the tapers lighted! Then I shall know what else is going to happen. Will the trees of the forest come to see me? I wonder if the sparrows will peep in at the windows as they fly. Shall I grow faster here and keep on all these ornaments summer and winter?" But guessing was of very little use. It made his bark ache, and this pain is as bad for a slender fir tree as headache is for us. At last the tapers were lighted, and then what a glistening blaze of light the tree presented! It trembled so with joy in all its branches that one of the candles fell among the green leaves and burned some of them. "Help! Help!" exclaimed the young ladies. But there was no danger, for they quickly extinguished the fire. After this, the tree tried not to tremble at all, though the fire frightened him. He was so anxious not to hurt any of the beautiful ornaments, even while their brilliancy dazzled him. And now the folding doors were thrown open, and a troop of children rushed in, as if they intended to upset the tree. They were followed more silently by their elders. For a moment the little ones stood silent with astonishment, and then they shouted for joy, till the room rang, and they danced merrily round the tree, while one present after another was taken from it. "What are they doing? What will happen next?" thought the fair. At last the candles burned down to the branches and were put out. Then the children received permission to plunder the tree. Oh, how they rushed upon it, till the branches cracked! And had it not been fastened with a glistening star to the ceiling, it must have been thrown down. The children then danced about with their pretty toys, and no one noticed the tree, except the children's maid, who came and peeped among the branches to see if an apple or a fig had been forgotten. "A story! A story!" cried the children, pulling a little fat man towards the tree. "Now we shall be in the green shade," said the man, as he seated himself under it, "and the tree will have the pleasure of hearing also. But I shall only relate one story. What shall it be? Ivede Avede or Humpty Dumpty, who fell down the stairs, but soon got up again and at last married a princess?" Then the old man told them the story of Humpty Dumpty, how he fell down the stairs and was raised up again and married a princess. "Ah, well," thought the fir tree, "who knows, perhaps I may fall down too and marry a princess." And he looked forward joyfully to the next evening, expecting to be again decked out with lights and playthings, gold and fruit. "Tomorrow I will not tremble," thought he. "I will enjoy all my splendour, and I shall hear the story of Humpty Dumpty again, and perhaps Ivede Avede." And the tree remained quiet and thoughtful all night. In the morning the servants and the housemaid came in. "Now," thought the fair, "all my splendour is going to begin again." But they dragged him out of the room and upstairs to the garret, and threw him on the floor in a dark corner where no daylight shone, and there they left him. "Squeak, squeak," said a little mouse creeping cautiously towards the tree. Then came another, and they both sniffed at the fir tree and crept between the branches. "Oh, it is very cold," said the little mouse, "or else we should be so comfortable here, shouldn't we, you old fir tree?"
"I am not old," said the fir tree. "There are many who are older than I am."
"What a number of things you have seen! You must have been very happy."
"Happy?" exclaimed the fir tree, and then as he reflected upon what he had been telling them, he said, "Ah, yes, after all, those were happy days. But they may come again. Humpty Dumpty fell down the stairs, and yet he married the princess. Perhaps I may marry a princess, too." And the fir tree thought of the pretty little birch tree that grew in the forest, which was to him a real beautiful princess.
"Who is Humpty Dumpty?" asked the little mice.
And then the tree related the whole story. He could remember every single word, and the little mice were so delighted with it that they were ready to jump to the top of the tree. The next night a great many more mice made their appearance, and on Sunday two rats came with them. But they said it was not a pretty story at all, and the little mice were very sorry, for it made them also think less of it.
"Do you know only one story?" asked the rats.
"Only one," replied the fir tree. "I heard it on the happiest evening of my life, but I did not know I was so happy at the time."
"We think it's a very miserable story," said the rats. "Don't you know any story about bacon or tallow in the storeroom?"
"No," replied the tree.
"Many thanks to you, then," replied the rats, and they marched off.
The little mice also kept away after this, and the tree sighed and said, "It was very pleasant when the merry little mice sat around me and listened while I talked. Now that is all past, too. However, I shall consider myself happy when someone comes to take me out of this place." Then it was carried downstairs and taken down into the courtyard so quickly that it forgot to think of itself and could only look about. There was so much to be seen. The court was close to a garden where everything looked blooming. Fresh and fragrant roses hung over the little palings. The linden trees were in blossom, while the swallows flew here and there. "Now I shall live," cried the tree, joyfully spreading out its branches. But alas, they were all withered and yellow, and it lay in a corner amongst weeds and nettles. It thought of its fresh youth in the forest, of the merry Christmas evening, and of the little mice who had listened to the story of Humpty Dumpty. "Past, past," said the old tree. "Oh, had I but enjoyed myself while I could have done so! But now it's too late." Then a lad came and chopped the tree into small pieces, till a large bundle lay in a heap on the ground. The pieces were placed in a fire under the copper, and they quickly blazed up brightly, while the tree sighed so deeply that each sigh was like a pistol shot. Then the children who were at play came and seated themselves in front of the fire and looked at it and cried, "Pop, pop!" But at each pop, which was a deep sigh, the tree was thinking of a summer day in the forest, and of Christmas evening, and of Humpty Dumpty, the only story it had ever heard or knew how to relate, till at last it was consumed. The boy still played in the garden, and the youngest wore the golden star on his breast, with which the tree had been adorned during the happiest evening of its existence. Now all was past. The tree's life was past, and the story also, for all stories must come to an end at last.
Hemmhekk naraw kemm kien ukoll konxju tal-ambjent Dan Anderson. Imma il-kritiċi li għadna kif tkellimna dwarhom kienu daqsxejn kattivu mhux ħażin, kienu jaqbdu miegħu wkoll fuq id-dehra tiegħu. Kritiku minnhom qal hekk: "His nose was like a mighty cannon, his eyes like two small green peas." U laġejna t-taqbil ċerta kittieba bl-isem ta' Jackie Fulschlager fil-biografija tagħha dwar Anderson tirriferi għalih bħala il-Pied Piper, li pal Pied Piper kien isaxħar it-tfal bil-kidbit tijaw u isaxħar kull min kien il-taqamijaw fi zjajjar tijaw meta kien isifer. Iżda mid-dera u koll fi zmilu kien emmin kien jirriferi għalih pala l-Pied Piper għalix meta ftit qabel ma miet fl-1875 bnewlu monument Banderson imdawar bit-tfal huwa ikkummenta hekk fi djarju tijaw. I said loud and clear that I was dissatisfied, that I didn't tolerate anyone standing behind me, and I never had children on my lap or between my legs, that my tales were just as much for older people as for children, who only understood the outer trappings by supposed underappreciation, and did not comprehend and take in the whole work until they were mature, that naivety was only part of my tales, that humor was what really gave them flavor. Forsi hu ma fehmx id-dinja li kien jgħix fiha, iżda milli jidher lanqas id-dinja ma fehmitu. Kien permess tal-ħrejjef li Anderson gawda tant fama onuri u rikkezzi, u kien permess tal-ħrejjef li d-dinja għarfet verament min kien. U kemm tfal madwar id-dinja jistgħu jgħidu li maqrawx The Ugly Duckling, The Emperor's New Clothes u The Little Mermaid. Ma nafx għaliex, ma qed inħossni tant qalbi sewda li se jkollna nieqfu nitkellmu dwar dan il-kittieb hekk kbir. Nixtieqkom issa tfittxu u taraw x'teżori ta' xogħlijiet għandu dan il-kittieb u tiskopru ż-żbuħija tal-ittri u l-autobiografija tiegħu flimkien mal-ħafna biografiji li nkitbu biex intkom tkomplu fejn ħallejt jien. Fi programm ieħor se nitkellmu dwar il-kittieba nisa Ġermaniżi ta' 18 u 19 seklu li fosthom kien hemm żewġ irġejjen, waħda minnhom kienet Katarina l-Kbira, l-Imperatriċi tar-Russja li fil-fatt kienet Ġermaniża. U taraw kemm kienu jikbu ħrejjef interessanti b'temi adulti u differenti ħafna minn dawk tal-irġiel. Nirringrazzja lil kull min qiegħed jieħu interess u jsegwi dan il-programm ukoll lil dawk li jiktbulna għaliex kif rajtu llum bis-saħħa tal-Ino Boġeja tkellimna dwar il-miġja ta' Anderson f'pajjiżna u skoprejna tant affarijiet sbieħ. Nirringrazzjakom, jiena Margita Juice, insellilkom.